a kind of love that defies understanding, whereby in love he looks at sinners like us and says, not only am I forgiving them, I am actually going to bring them into my family.
This is The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt, Senior Pastor of Bethel Church in Northwest Indiana. What's the most powerful moment that you've ever felt love? With your parents, your spouse, your children? Today in The Journey, a look at our adoption in Christ and the love of God. If you missed the first part of this message, visit our website, thejourney.fm, or subscribe to our podcast, The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. We're in 1 John chapter 3. Here's Pastor Steve looking at God's love.
What John is astonished at is that God's love did not stop at making us relationally neutral, but that God's love went beyond that and further beyond that. In fact, crazy beyond that. Crazy is the oft-used adjective these days. Everything's crazy, right? He went crazy beyond that into a love that is, I think, beyond comprehension. So once again, if he had stopped there, where would we be? We would have a changed nature. We would be forgiven our sins. We would probably have eternal life. We would serve God. We'd live forever. Maybe be beautiful like the angels, some of us. Maybe all of us. All of that is a major upgrade. Better an angel in heaven than a sinner in hell. That would be a massive upgrade for us. But this is where God's love is so over the top. God does something that our salvation from sin actually did not require him to do. We're saved without adoption. We're in heaven without adoption. We are righteous and holy without adoption. But God, to show a wonder and an extent of self-giving for the good and joy of another, love, does not stop at putting us at the status of angels in heaven, but goes beyond that into a kind of love that defies understanding, whereby in love, he looks at sinners like us and says, not only am I forgiving them, I am actually going to bring them into my family. And I am going to give them a place at my table. And I am going to bestow upon them rights and privileges that come with being a son or daughter of God Almighty. And all of that is love. We are adopted full children of God, which forever changes the way that we relate to God. What do you think of when you think about God and your relationship with him? Is he your judge? Is he the scary God waiting to crush you if you misstep in some way? Or is he your heavenly Father? And friends, this is a way that we currently relate to God and will forever relate to God that the angels know nothing about. They are God's servants. We are God's children. God is their king and is their master. He is all of that to us, but the defining relationship that God wants us as Christians to understand and to our perspective on him, he's God, yes, and he is king, and he is master, and he is Lord, and we tremble before him. But what God wants us to know is that he is our Father. He is our heavenly Father. Here's how I can say it. God is Dad. God is Dad. A breathtaking and awe-producing status change for sinners who don't deserve anything. And yet God has done this with an unspeakable, foreign, can't comprehend it, love. That friend he has. If you are a Christian, this is the love that God has for you individually. You and you and you and you and you. He is your heavenly Father, and he wants you to see him that way. Listen to John Murray. Justification means our acceptance with God as righteous and the bestowal of the title to everlasting life. Regeneration is the renewing of our hearts after the image of God. But these blessings in themselves, however precious they are, do not indicate what is conferred by the act of adoption. By adoption, the redeemed become sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. They are introduced into and given the privileges of God's family. Let me give you some other teachings on this in Scripture. Here's John 1. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Apostle Paul writes it this way, Galatians 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who are under the law. So that, what's the goal of all of this? So that we might receive adoption as sons. Romans 8, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now that last verse there has a special truth in it that I want to talk with you about. God wants us to know that we are his children. In fact, one of the things the Spirit of God, he's called the Spirit of adoption here, because one of the things that he does within us is he helps us understand that we are children of God, sons of God, by the assurance of the Holy Spirit. And notice the word here, it says, by whom we cry, Abba. Now, my dad, growing up, my dad would never let us call him Father. If we ever did that, even jokingly, swift disapproval for that. And, you know, it's interesting to think about why that's would be the case for my dad. My dad's dad died when he was 4. And so he basically was raised in a single parent home, a single mother home. Doesn't hardly remember his dad, had no dad, and I think always looked forward then to being a dad. And so then when we came along, he didn't want us to call him Father, he loved the title Dad. Paul says here that we can address God as our Abba. Say it with me, Abba. Now what is that talking about? Well, ancient Greek documents that tell us about the culture back when this was written tell us that there was amongst little children, small children would address their fathers as Abba. Okay? And you can kind of almost hear the childlikeness there, can't you? Abba. In fact, the Talmud tells us that children would call their fathers Abba and would call their mothers Imma. And I'm sure back then it was the same as today. All the mothers, they want their child, you know, say mommy. And inevitably, what's the first thing that comes out of the child's mouth? Daddy. Much to the joy of dad and not to the mom, right? Dada, mama, Abba, Imma. What do we have in our language that would be the most simple and pure expression of filial relationship? I think it would be dada. And the word in Holy Scripture that by the Spirit we cry out in this new relationship with Almighty God is dada. God is our dada. And that is a marvel beyond comprehension. What kind of love must it be to take rebels and sinners who all our lives have lived in a quiet and sometimes not so quiet rebellion against God. And to take that enemy and to say, from now on, call me Dede. That is an astonishing love, is it not? Amazing. That is adoption. And it is a marvel-producing biblical truth. It's wonderful. Truly wonderful. When we combine it with John 1:12, but as many as received him, and Galatians 4, so that we might receive him, the picture here then is complete. That our adoption has nothing to do with earning it. This is not a performance-based fatherly love. Many people grow up in a performance-based fatherly love, and it typically freaks them out, right? We want a fatherly love that is constant and unconditional. And the reality is that our spiritual adoption by God Almighty, like salvation, is simply received. Simply received. It's true in human adoption, isn't it? Especially, you know, the small children, infants and such. Do those children do anything to get adopted? Are they trying to pass certain tests or to, you know, be cute enough or smart enough or something else in order to be adopted? No, they are not. In fact, they don't even know that they're getting adopted. With the parents, then, it's also similar, that nobody forces a parent to adopt. They do so willingly. And the child can't require it, can't demand it, but they simply receive it. And in the case of an infant, they have no idea even that it's happening to them. I read a book on adoption by Russell Moore from Southern Seminary, and he tells a story of his own experience in adopting two children from Russia. And they went over to the orphanage there, and they met their children, and it's kind of a long story, but in summary, they went to the orphanage, and they saw the deplorable conditions that these two children that they're about to bring into their own family are living in. And he describes the conditions, and they are terrible. And so they worked through the long process, and for those of you that have been through adoptions, you know it is an incredibly long, painful, and grueling process. They went through that whole thing. They take the children out of the orphanage, they get on a plane, and they come here to the United States, and they bring them into their own home. And when they do that, those children have a new home, they have a new identity, they have a new status now that they did not have before. They did not pay for the adoption themselves. What did they do? What did they do to get adopted? They did nothing. This was an act by the parents to bring this child into their home. It was a love gift. It was a love gift. They received it. And friends, what I want you to hear is that our spiritual adoption is much the same. We were in the spiritual orphanage. Actually, it was more like a prison, spiritually, that we were in. We were without any resources. We didn't have any connections. There was no strings to pull. There was no money to pay. There was nothing. We were there and we were stuck. The conditions were deplorable, even though we didn't realize it. It's all that we'd ever known. We were born there. Then one day, the door of the orphanage opened, and a great light came through that door, and someone was there. Someone was there to get us out. Someone seemed to care. And we discerned that this adopting parent, this spiritually adopting parent, was none other than God Himself. Who pays the price for that adoption? Who pays the price to set us free? The ransom price of Jesus' death. And that equity frees us from the orphanage. And out we go from that deplorable place. But God doesn't stop by simply getting us out. What does He do? He says, "Oh, little orphan, so helpless and lost. Not only am I paying the price to set you free, I've decided to bring you into my home. And I am declaring that from this day forward, you shall be a part of my family." not just a house guest or a guest at the table. From now on, you are my son, and I would like you to see me and speak to me as your father. In fact, call me Dada. I love you. And what must the spiritual orphan think? Having rotted in a spiritual orphanage. No love there, stuck there with all the others, hopeless, loveless, longing for someone to love me. And then God came along and you set me free. And now you're going to bring me and feed me and clothe me and place me in your own home. You're going to wash me and care for me. And on top of all of that, you're going to make me your son, and you're going to give me a place at your table forever? Why? Who are you? Who does this? Where does this kind of love come from? And the only answer is a loving God. A love that is not found anywhere else but in God. And that leaves us, when properly understood, astonished orphans. Astonished that we are in the house and the family of God Almighty, and not just serving there like the angels. We are sons and daughters of God Almighty. It's beyond comprehension. Why? God, why? And his answer is, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we would be called sons of God. An astonishing love. It really staggers the mind. John was astonished by it. The Apostle John, astonished by it. Are you? Christian, wake up. Wake up, orphan, and realize that you are in a palace. Someday, I'm telling you, someday, when we're in eternity, you're going to come up to me, I hope all of you, and you're going to say to me, you know, this place is amazing, isn't it? I mean, I cannot, this place is beautiful. And somebody said, we get to stay here forever. Man, Jesus, I just can't get enough of him. And all the others that are here, and the Father, this is just, you didn't preach it very well, Pastor Steve, because you didn't. I had no idea. No idea. But you know the thing, of all the things that I did not get, I did not even begin to get when I was there on earth, it didn't dawn on me. We're sons of God. We're sons of God. I did not understand that. I did not expect that. And what I'm going to say to you is, I told you so. But I will do it in a non-sinful way. And we will just dance a jig right there in the moment to think, we are sons of God forever. Amen. Indeed. Amen. Friend, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, I'm wanting to up the ante on you and to just put that in front of you, the offer of God Almighty to become a part of his family. By faith, trusting in Jesus. That's how we come to know God. It is through his son, Jesus. It's just sitting there, waiting for you to believe. I don't want you to miss it. Now, to make it clear, here's what adoption means quickly. First of all, it means that God loves us. 1 John 3:1. This is where John gushes. What love that we would be called children of God. God relates to us as his children. Jesus talks about this in his Sermon on the Mount. If your earthly father knew how to treat you well, how much more does your heavenly father know? I think it would dramatically help many of us in our spiritual walk if we truly viewed God as our Father. Dada. So relational, right? Not cold. You want to breathe a little life into your spiritual life, or a little life into the church here, for all of us to realize the relational intimacy God desires from His children. Call me Daddy. He loves you. Amazing. Second, God is not our judge. He is our Heavenly Father. And that, for example, when we pray, how did Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven. Not our distant God who I can't know and I can only tremble in front of, right? He doesn't even invoke Yahweh or some other name, which I think are also legitimate. He doesn't say pray to me. He doesn't say pray to the Spirit, although I do think you can pray to the members of the Trinity. The model for prayer is to pray to God the Father. When I say Father, what I am acknowledging is I'm your child, right? Third, it means that God disciplines us like every good father. And now you're like, oh, this message was so encouraging up until this point. And Hebrews talks about this. Every good father disciplines his son. You know, I remember when I was growing up, you know, if I was really bad, if I was kind of bad, I would get, you know, disciplined, maybe a mom spanking. But if I was really bad, she'd say, wait till your dad gets home. And then you're going to get it. And I remember sitting there, and you'd hear the garage door up like that. And it just was like, oh, no. Why? Because discipline was coming. But you know what? Today, am I glad that my dad disciplined me all those years faithfully? You bet I am. What kind of scoundrel I would have been if I didn't have a loving father disciplining me. And God's the same. So if you're experiencing some discipline from God, and you're like, I don't like it. Someday you'll like it. Okay? Someday you'll like it. So just receive it. Say, God, I embrace what you're teaching me in this. Conform me to whatever you want. I don't rebel. I'm yours. And move on. It means that we are entitled to an inheritance as sons of God. And that's going to be another thing. You're going to come up to me and go, I had no idea. No idea whatsoever what it means. And finally, it means that we are all in the family of God together. We are a family. If God is your father, then you are my sister and my brother. And the Bible goes to great lengths to say that that relationship matters. And that's why when I realize that I'm not just sort of attending a church with random people that I can't wait to beat out of the parking lot, but rather I am here with people that I will spend eternity with who are themselves objects of the love of God. And there isn't a one of them that is beneath my expression of love. Now that changes the way that we care for one another, doesn't it? And it creates then that horizontal love, which John is going to say also is an indication that we know God. We are in the family of God together. Every brother and sister is someone God loves. Shouldn't I as well? Astonished children of an adopting God. So may all God's children be astonished, and may the remaining orphans receive the offer by faith and join the family. And I would add, join the party as we celebrate the manner of love that God has lavished on us, that we would be called children of God. Astonished. And so we are. The verse ends. Indeed. Amen.
What wonderful news that God loves us. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for this look at 1 John chapter 3. This is The Journey with Steve DeWitt. Steve's the senior pastor of Bethel Church in Northwest Indiana. If you've ever wanted to check out Bethel, then I invite you to come visit us this weekend. If you're not able to do that, though, you can watch us online at bethelweb.org. We stream our services each Sunday morning at 9 and 10:45 a.m. Central Time. Once again, the website for that is bethelweb.org. Well, for Steve and the whole team, I'm Tim Svoboda. We'll see you next time right here on The Journey.